I'll sweep the floor, I'll make the tea, and then I'll sweep the floor and sweep the floor again, shall I? Apprentice mutters to himself. His master shuffles papers on the shelf, draws up dimensions, costs, and thinks of wood, the work and care required to make her good. This boat, which he and Tommy must begin, as summer ebbs away and days draw in. The trees arrive, the oak to make the keel. Spare men come in, lend shoulders to the wheel. And when the lorry and the men depart, old Chris and his apprentice make a start. And to the saw pit trees and shipwrights go, the senior man above, the boy below, for ripped and splintered days with no abate, with muscles taxed at source and at top rate. A week of this, the boy balks at his chore. He wonders if his arms can take much more. New hardened hands, so numb they barely feel. The two commence construction of the keel. Their adzes sharpened, fine enough to split a penny, heads from tails with one smart hit. They'll make and lay the keel into its bed, where blocks have been put down inside the shed. Now Tommy takes the tool, begins to work. Old Chris looks on and tells him with a smirk, "Stop taking bees' wings off, boy, get it right, or else we'll both be here till Christmas night." The boy's still ginger, but the master sees his swing becomes more steady by degrees, and as the days wear on, more steady still. He gleans a fraction of the old man's skill. With mornings colder now and time got past, the keelson and the floors bolt in at last. "A tricky job," says Chris, and Tommy aches from clenching and the hammering it takes. The older man impatient and in pain, backache, old injuries play up again. If Tommy moans, Chris snaps, "You needn't fear, that's just young muscles clicking into gear." Now Chris shows Tommy how the futtocks go. Cut out from oak, grown 80 year ago, not forest oak, but hedgerow oak, the bends and crooks of branches suited for such ends, to fashion what would be the ribs inside, and later still, the planks and wales will hide, and which, once they've been fitted and are on, will show the boat, at least its skeleton. The deadwoods must be trimmed, rabettes connected, the oak and elm for planking be inspected, for dead knots, shakes, or any bit gone bad, before they make the strakes and ship is clad. Time comes for planking up. To help with this, another pair of shipwrights, asked by Chris, come in to help as new steam planks still warm, are fitted, spiked, and thus a boat takes form. The days are darker now and dashed with rain. The adze, the maul, the hammer, and the plane will echo in the dwindling winter light, and Tommy feels he's working more by night. The decking planks go down, and bit by bit, Chris shows the young apprentice how they'll fit and tells him, "With such little space to spare, you couldn't get a fag paper in there." The work continues, Christmas comes and goes, and in the yard a sickle east wind blows, which slices through the shed along the floor where Tommy opens oaken bales once more. Regards the greasy floss, hands digging in, the caulking of the decks will now begin. And tappings from his mallet will provide a rhythm to the howling gales outside. Then, over months, with oaken, pitch and paint, the savvy skill, the patience of a saint, Chris teases out a shipwright from the lad, sands up the good and planes away the bad, till winter slings his hook and leaves the shed, and spring stands beaming on the yard instead. Then extra hands are once again called back, since now it's time to launch the finished smack. Finished though, it's not, just halfway through. And after launch, there'll still be work to do, as much as in the days already past. The standing rigging, ballast, sails, and mast, the running rigging, mast hoop, gaff and boom. And this will leave the shipwrights little room to rest upon such laurels as they've earned, though Tommy can be proud of what he's learned. And most of all, he won't forget the day the ship slips slowly down the greasy way, the skids well packed with tallow, grease and fat, an empty space left where the boat had sat. "She floats! She really floats!" exclaims the boy. The older shipwright grins to see his joy, with cheers and sheer excitement in the air. A ship she is, the Water Lily there.